Good morning. The presentation this morning is part of a larger initiative at Penn State to engage a broader cross-section of our undergraduate population around issues of global relevance. Keeping in mind, Penn State has approximately 100,000 undergraduate students spread across more than 20 campuses across Pennsylvania. Specifically, I'm going to be talking about a study abroad program, the Parks and People program, in which students are immersed in a South African landscape. And the design of this program is based on developing problem-solving, critical thinking skills, as well as students being empowered to facilitate their own learning and the learning of others. So I'm really going to just hit a little bit about Parks and People, and then I'm going to move on to why we chose soils as one of the focal points to build these strategies for engaging this larger community. Then I'm going to touch on three of our strategies, and then I'll give some concluding remarks. So Parks and People is a 10-week semester abroad program. It's 15 credits, it's five different courses, and where students actually travel from Cape Town, which the cursor is pointing out where Cape Town is right about there. Cape Town, which is very urban, very modern, and it sits on the Atlantic Ocean. And they travel all the way across the southern tip of Africa here, and they get across to a very rural, very traditional set of communities that sit on the Indian Ocean. Now, what's interesting about this is that as the students and the faculty and staff are traveling across this landscape, they're engaging with six different distinct ecological zones, including three biodiversity hotspots. So this gives us an opportunity to look at global drivers as they relate to human-environment interactions, not just from an ecological standpoint, but also with the people that they engage with and the activities that we actually do, which involve both natural and social science strategies. So talking about these students, they're coming from a variety of disciplines. These are non-soil science students. In the last 6 years, we've had more than 20 different academic disciplines represented in the program. And the majority, which is that last piece of the larger piece of the pie up top, those are geography students. But we usually have each year about six or seven different academic disciplines. And so getting these students in the field in South Africa was ideal, not just because of the differences in the landscape, but because South Africa is also being very progressive in thinking about conservation as it relates to climate change and some of the other issues. So soils became a really good fit for developing these strategies for a couple of reasons. One, because it's central to a number of our global challenges. So climate change, food security, biodiversity, to name a few. But there's also some evidence suggesting that there's a decreased interest in students engaging with soil as an area of study. Some preliminary work by our group also suggested that students did not find soils to be exciting at all. They thought it was somewhat boring, but after doing some intentional engagement with some preliminary strategies, we were able to get those students in the field to be more interested using some surveys and so on. We recognized that their interest in soils did increase, but we didn't want to stop there at all. Because the challenge that we face is that we have a larger group of students that might not be traveling and that might not have these opportunities that we also need to be a part of the conversation in solving some of these global issues. So really where we stood was, could we actually take a diverse group of non-soil science students, immerse them in an environment and provide them with the skills so that they were not only facilitating their own learning, but they could also facilitate the learning of others? Because where we sit, how do we reach audiences that don't yet know that soils is an important factor of their own lives and just in general for society? We really leveraged social media to do this, which allowed the students to be actively involved in the process. We have our Facebook sign there. And so we're linking the students as they were in the field with residential courses. But we also wanted an informal component to this. So the social media aspect allowed it to be very open, and so parents and family and friends were also able to engage as the students were learning in the field. So the three strategies I'm going to touch on this morning are scaffolding, meaning-making images, and phenomenal photos. Now, these three strategies are grounded in some of the literature from education about how people learn, and they don't run in isolation. But for simplicity of the presentation, I'm going to present them separately in the following slides. So scaffolding is simply giving students activities that are just outside the realm of what we think they're capable of achieving. And so what this does, it forces students to start to inquire. They start to ask their peers, they start to ask the environment around them, they start to ask us as a resource, as faculty, in order to achieve these activities. And it's a moving target. So each time they achieve the activities, we continue to push and pull the students along in learning new concepts. Now, an example here of a question that would come from one of the students was, why would soil be used as sunscreen? Now, this was prompted by being in some of the rural areas where some of the local communities would use soil on their faces, some of the women primarily. But the students would then be prompted to ask these questions, which allowed us to infuse basic soil concepts. But we're also getting a chance to assess prior soil knowledge. As I mentioned before, these students are coming from a number of different backgrounds. A number of these students are also not even science students. And so being able to address what their prior knowledge is important in being able to implement the scaffolding approach. We're also seeing questions as, would a home made from soil be a good choice in Pennsylvania? A number of the homes, the traditional architecture, involve using soils. And so now we have students thinking even outside the realm of soils as it related to climate and their own environments. Scaffolding was also used and incorporated in faculty-led research. And so we have a long-term relationship with some of the local conservation agencies, and we're just starting to work now with the South African National Parks in doing ecological surveys by trapping and monitoring indicator species, primarily amphibians and reptiles. Now, in that process, we have to build drift fences. And so the drift fences are really just to guide the amphibians to some sort of a trap, a hole in the ground, pretty much, especially if you think about frogs. Now, what's interesting about the drift fences is that they have to be located in an area that represents a number of different microenvironments. That gives us the highest opportunity, the greatest chance for catching more species. And so what we'd find that the students were able to start to pose questions related to soils as it relating to the diversity of soils. So a question that would come up would be, the soil is really soft in the shade. And so what that allowed us to do from that observation was to start to talk about what was happening in the shade. Simply put, the acacia trees were providing nutrients from the leaves that were falling, and that developed some organic matter. Once again, assessing the prior knowledge, the way in which the students are processing this information, and this is ongoing, as I mentioned before, as we're pulling them along in their learning. Now, meaning-making images, that's the second strategy that I want to talk about this morning. And students were asked to take a picture where they were seeing soils being used in a landscape as they're traveling over these 10 weeks. This is an image a young lady took of one of the traditional homes. Now, what they're also asked to do is to bring value to that image using no more than 50 words. And this is where we started to reach out to the students and the families who are not in South Africa on that field trip, because we're using social media postings to put these images out. And so this student was, in her 40 words, made a statement by saying, these oval homes are composed of soil, sand, and cow dung. The built-in assessment then allows us to recognize why she's separating soil from sand. And that allows us to address these basic concepts and ensure that by the time the students are through the process, these concepts are actually incorporated into their knowledge base and they're able to use it rather than we're simply assessing them based on just a written exam. They're also thinking about thermodynamics as it relates to soils and their ability to absorb and release heat. And that's also brought out here, which allows us to have a broader conversation with students online that's driven by and influenced by the students in the field themselves. Finally, I want to touch on phenomenal photos. Now, the phenomenal photos are similar to the meaning-making images, but usually these are a handful of pictures that evoke even deeper sense of explanation building. So the image you're looking at here that was posted on Facebook is cattle hanging out on the beach. And so we had a soil physics course back at Penn State who got very excited about this, and they were responding because immediately they gravitated to this idea of cattle on the beach. It just didn't seem to make sense to them. So the questions that were coming out were, do the cattle cause coastal erosion? How does this affect beach ecosystems? Is compaction being impacted? And there was a level of energy, inquiry, discussion, which then allowed us to introduce and infuse a lot more of the soils information here, but the students were actually driving the learning themselves, and we were now able to engage even a broader group, not just the students in the field, who, I'll remind you, are non-soil science students. The implications for this are quite broad, because this image right here was taken just about 2 miles inland from where the cattle were lounging on the beach. And as you can see in the background, there are also some cattle grazing right there. Now, global challenges, even the ones that are related to soil, do not occur in isolation. They occur in a larger sociocultural context. And so the area that you're looking at is very traditional. It's the Xhosa communities, which they're very heavily linked to cattle as well as to the land. And so if we were to address issues of erosion, it would be important for us to also consider the sociocultural context, which would require us to work with disciplines outside of soil, a variety of disciplines outside of just the soil sciences. So in conclusion then, I want to leave you with the fact that evidence-based student-centered instruction regarding soils can actually work in increasing interest, but they need to be intentionally integrated and engaging for appropriate audiences. I'll also want to mention that there are strategies that exist within the literature of education that can be incorporated to not only allow students to facilitate their own learning, but to facilitate the learning of others, which I argue, and we argue, is important if we're going to reach audiences that are not yet interested in soils. And finally, diversity. We need to be able to move across some of our disciplinary barriers in order to bring a diverse set of skills and perspectives and passions that are crucial for tackling not just issues related to soils, but broader global issues as well. Thank you very much.